Is Shuri getting her very own comic? Do we have Spider-Man casting news? Was James Gunn and unceremoniously fired from Guardians? And did a little thing called Comic-Con happen? Why, yes. This is Marvel Movie News!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. I am sorry for the opening. That was a bit stuttery than normal. This is episode 189, and we are coming to you live from San Diego's Hall H,
yes.
Where Marvel wasn't there, but we were. So
they were barely there. They not were, Marvel new, like not, movie not, news. What? No, Marvel movie news was there,
we
but
there.
Not like
Marvel
movie,
comma, news. We repped, they didn't, and there was stuff, but not them.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios was not there, as we all know. There was no surprise, no bait and switch. But Marvel adjacent, a la Deadpool and comics and certain video games we'll talk about. Those things all did go down, and we obviously have that to cover. We also couldn't make it last week, and that is a dear friend passed away. So we didn't have the capacity, and we want to dedicate this show and to the only show we've ever not done to John Schnepp. We're gonna do a block at the end about John, but I didn't even want to do the cold open without mentioning John. It feels wrong to mention anything so trivial as movie news without mentioning the most important figure of this stuff. So this is for John today.
For Collider, yesterday we did an in-depth, episode, remembrance, for John. So I do recommend seeing that. I believe that both of us have tweeted that out, and on the Marvel Movie News account also did. And it goes, we go into our experiences and then other heroes that could make it at that time,
mm-hmm.
Because it was last minute. And there is there's a lot, right now. So, it's never good to tell anyone or comment on anyone on how they must grieve. So some people weren't able to make it, and I saw on those people's Twitter some people had comments, and not necessary with it. And but yes, go ahead and check out that episode of Collider. And there's also a Collider Movie Talk before that that really goes in depth into John and his very extensive movie and directing career. Like, you probably did not realize how big of a part of your life John Schnepp was, but if you ever watched Space Ghost Coast to Coast, Black Panther, 2010 BET,
Metalocalypse,
Dude
was everywhere. Like, homie
everywhere.
Had prolific career, and he was
an
so
artist,
much
hip hop.
Yeah, he's a hip-hop man. I love that Schnepp, like, driving to Vegas talking about hip-hop is still one of those, like, wow.
And he did slam poetry. You didn't know that.
Yeah, he was prolific, understates the importance of John Schnepp. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about him more, because
yes.
If you talk about it at the beginning of the show, I, if you watch the Collider thing, learn that his speaking is not my cup of tea. So, we will talk about John at the end so that I may talk now. And speaking of talking,
yes,
this...
talk about post-SDCC news.
But first.
The
spiel! This is Marvel Movie News, episode 189, and you can find us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us on YouTube.com/PopcornTalkNetwork. You can find us on Popcorn Talk's website, PopcornTalkNetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you tweet a link whilst we are live, Aunt Anthony in the booth will retweet you.
Hey guys, I gotta say again, I'm just sorry for your loss and everything. Everyone lost a great man that day. And also, I just want to say, Disney firing James Gunn, my goodness, what a shocker to us all, really.
Dude, it's some bull. We'll get to
that.
That's
our second story. But first,
Wait,
Amy.
Yes.
Yes, and introductions.
Oh, thank you. Good.
In general.
Jobs
who are
and
names?
Jobs. Hello.
Who are you?
My name is Koi Jandro.
I've never seen you before in my life.
I don't know where to speak. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at my name. We've been doing this show for a very long time, and alongside me, as ever... is Markia McCarty. Where can I find you?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMccarty.
Damn straight. And our associate producer, the ever lovely...
me. Amy Cassandra Martinez. Yes, I am here. I'm in the chat. join us. Let's keep it nice. Let's keep it civil. Let's keep it supportive.
Yeah. Yes. As always, be people. Be the best people that you are, people.
I love that our sodas and John have become legend. People in the live chat are like, there are the sodas! Because we put
the
a picture
sodas.
Up on it. We'll get to all that, yeah. But thank you, live chat. I'm glad those sodas are canon, because they were... The best thing about those sodas is talking about them sodas. After we've passed them. So, we are going to get into the news, and the first bit of news, I want to talk comics first, because Shuri is getting her own comic, and that is... much delayed and overdeserved, and it's going to happen, and I'm very excited. She is obviously the breakout of Black Panther. Everyone loved that character from Black Panther, and in the comics, Shuri has been Black Panther. Shuri has this rich history.
Yes.
Shuri, the character herself, is so dense, and there's so much depth, and I'm just so hype, and you know her far more than I do. What do you think about this comic?
Yeah, like you nailed it. Definitely, this has been a long time in the making. I am very happy with, how phenomenal Black Panther did on a number of levels, but in particular, people don't realize that it got the actual comic books were canceled before yeah. that. Why would you for World of Wakanda and Black Panther? Well, you know, Shuri has her own solo comic book now. And those that are not familiar with her or only know her from Black Panther, where she is played by Letitia Wright, magnificently, by the way. She is a creation of Reginald Hudlin. She's out of the Hudlin run of a Black Panther. That's right after Christopher Priest, who's the number one. I always stick it in. Who's the number one that I always recommend for people to start with Black Panther with, and then, you know, as you will, mm-hmm. you know, branch out. Jason Aaron also has, you know, he's dabbled with Black Panther also. With Shuri, yes, she did become Black Panther. And she isn't necessarily, she's more of a warrior type in the comic books than she is in the movie. Mm-hmm. Yes, she has that technological know-how, but she has that in the same way that Black Panther T'Challa himself does, where you see him as a warrior type, but he's also of a scientific mind. He's able to, a way to say it is he's Marvel's Batman. So he's able to think his way out of corners. It's like the greatest detective, but he does not work alone. He always, he utilizes his community, and you in particular find that in the Christopher Priest run. But coming back to Shuri herself, so when she became Black Panther, there's this whole process that you have to go through in the comic books to become Black Panther. She decided to go through that process, even though there was currently a Black Panther. T'Challa at that time was comatose for reasons. I'm not going to go into it. Comic books are a heck of a drug. And she went through the process and Bast, the Panther God, who was then supposed to bestow the powers of the Black Panther, the blessing, basically, of Black Panther, told her that she was too arrogant and, you know, wasn't going to do it. And Shuri said, well, you know, thanks for the joy in the travel, and I'm going to do it anyway. So,
which isn't arrogant at all.
No, not
at all.
Which
isn't an arrogant move.
Yeah. So I do enjoy this because I'm feeling that what we're going to have with this artist, if only for what I believe his name is Simon Spast.
Simon, the art in the book?
The artist.
Is Leonardo Romero, but that might be a different
cover.
The cover,
I tweeted this one out. Look on my Twitter for it, but I believe it's Simon Spast.
It's beautiful. I love the cover.
Yeah, but going from it where it's like you have this half of it is just very cultural, like traditional cultural. I love her hair in this, by the way, with her having natural hair and natural hairstyle. But then on the other half, you kind of see like this techno warrior type of look. So I think it's probably going to be a progression because she's not extremely built with muscles. I think that we're going to go from more of a movie standpoint with
that
this
makes
Shuri.
Sense. And that's the draw for the new readers. Like,
yes.
That's your leap. If you're coming from like, oh, I loved her in the movie, you don't want to read the book and be like, this isn't my... So it makes sense to lean that way in this particular instance.
Yeah. I'm A-okay for, as long as we get Shuri.
And Letitia Wright was such a good different take
Excellent.
On Shuri. Like, I really appreciate that character. I love the team in this book. I was a big fan of the Hawkeye and Captain America art. And they're basically leaning it in so it takes place in the context of Coates' Black Panther run. So I'm very curious about those books maybe being sister books because I really like when, like, say for the X-Men books, when they have X-Men, the blue and gold teams, when they used to kind of, they were their own things, but they still tied. So you don't have to read them both, but you can read them both. So I'm excited about that idea. And then when does that drop? Do you know?
I actually don't. I have been following the writer, and I'm going to butcher her name. I apologize. Nnamdi Okorafor.
Yeah, I had never heard that name, and it's beautiful, and it made me go,
Yeah, but award-winning writer, and I'm excited that we are cultivating such incredible talent for the Black Panther series. I mean,
I love that we had the
Roxane
range.
Gay and Ta-Nehisi Coates. Yeah. So it's amazing. The bar is high,
and it really is, it's such a broad scope of writers. They're bringing in writers that have done literature, writers that have done poetry, like I've never heard that name before in the realm of comics, and it's cool to bring in a completely new team. And yeah, I'm excited about this book.
Yeah.
Now on a less exciting side, Mr. James Gunn has been fired from Guardians 3. Guardians 3 was mere weeks out from filming. It had finished being written. It was very much James Gunn's baby, and I would argue that Guardians is the reason that the direction of the MCU is going. Like, there's no way that the MCU would be what it is without James Gunn's specific vision and the cosmic side and all of those things doing well. And Guardians was the biggest risk. It's a movie about a talking tree, a talking raccoon, and a team of space pirates. And there's more heart in those movies than most. So that's a hell of a thing to walk the line of. And they have fired James Gunn because of tweets from 10 years ago. So
he had already apologized previously, and that Disney knew about.
He had before this even came controversial, he had apologized. It's not like he apologized right before it was controversial. Yeah. I'm of the mind, my personal opinion, and that's all, this only comes from me. My personal opinion is that people grow up, people change. 10 years ago, I was 19. I can't imagine the things I would have tweeted had I had a Twitter at 19. I'm not sure it's fair to fire him when certain other people tweet way more scary things in all caps and maybe start wars. I'm also not sure if we're in a position to judge someone about something they did 10 years ago that they've already apologized for, especially someone working for a company that was leaning into scandal. He was working for Troma, who loves scandal, who loves antagonistic humor, and it was his brand then, which he apologized and got ahead of. So personally, I disagree with this entirely. This makes me very concerned for the Disney buying of Fox. It makes me very concerned for them having a monopoly if they're going to have this knee-jerk reaction, especially when it was brought up by a very, very, in my opinion, ignorant group of people that were doing it just for the purposes of getting someone fired. So I completely disagree with this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, and I just want to remind our chat room that even if you have factual information that is true, such as people's names or you're giving information, to still try to do it in a respectful way. Otherwise, we will have to delete that message. So, Anthony, you seem particularly strong with wanting to say something.
Oh, I was just, I gotta say it.
I'm sorry, Ant-Manthony.
Who's yeah. Anthony?
Who's Anthony? What? I don't know any Anthonys.
Oh, no, they're after me now. No, I just gotta say, it feels like Disney kind of dropped the ball. I do understand that it doesn't go with their overall image, but it just feels wrong, because it kind of feels, well, this is my personal opinion, it feels like Disney is bending the knee to those, in a sense, the bloggers that were behind Pizzagate and also Gamergate, and that just doesn't sit right with me, you know. These are people that I believe should not be taken too seriously, and Disney did just that, and we lost a fantastic director. And I mean, I say the first Guardians is one of my favorite films, and to hear this, and to the fact that Guardians 3 is forever changed now because of this group of people, mm-hmm. is very saddening.
And what Guardians represents is being less of an asshole. So the idea that the person that created that beautiful arc is losing a job because he's become a better person is just the crappiest irony. So in my opinion, this goes against everything the Guardians movies represent and everything I thought Marvel represented. So
I do have a question if anybody has the answer for it. Was it that he apologized for the tweets and then did not delete them, or was this something that he deleted, but, you know, whenever you delete anything from the internet,
it lives forever.
I'm curious if chat room knows. It's not a point that I'm sticking with or anything, but it's just with this, I feel like maybe there is a peak morality that a lot of people like to hold other people to. It goes into the whole thing of being, not having a perfect victim when it comes to crime. Mm. You know, when a crime occurs, and then someone would be like, oh, well, that person also did marijuana, or that person also did this. So there's like having a perfect victim, then there's having peak morality. And I think if somebody has apologized for something, it's been a long enough time, and is then hired by or vetted by a major company like Disney, for instance, then this should not even be a point right now. If it's something, I think it might have been a better move for them to bring something like this, you know, and judge it out with the public. It kind of feels like a knee-jerk reaction. And I think maybe one of the issues that we have going on right now are for the past couple of years is a normalization of extreme ideals. And once you have that, you radically shift a middle ground. So therefore, do not normalize extreme ideals. We do know what is wrong and what is right, type of a thing. And this, to me, does not feel right.
I completely agree with everything you just said. I also think that there should be not due process, but something of that ilk. I think that like when someone goes to jail, they're punished, right? Like there's a punishment, and then you want them to be a better person. James Gunn has become a better person through his actions. We see how much he does for children. We see how much he does for charity. We see how much he does as a person writing movies that are encouraging people to become better. How better can you prove someone's a better person than they were 10 years ago when he made those tweets? Like, how better can you show the character, the very foundation of who James Gunn is about people becoming better? So this just feels like a knee-jerk reaction to something that isn't relevant. And the fact that it's caused by someone that is just trying to hurt someone, and the fact that they did this during Comic-Con, the fact that he had a panel in like an hour, the fact that they did this like... He was about to do the Sony Hall H panel, and they just, no. Like, it's just, it's gross. I really am upset with it, and I usually love Disney's decisions, so this is the first time I've been like, well, maybe I'm a little more concerned about them handling my people.
Yeah, and we have to say these are our personal opinions. And Amy, feel free to chime in if you would like to. Understand if you don't want to.
Well, first, guys, let's keep it civil again in the chat. Yeah, it's a very dangerous situation to be put in. And it really just opens up the conversation, I think, for everyone else to decide, like, okay, well, what do we want, you know, from our companies moving forward? Not that, honestly, we have that much of a say, which is kind of scary. It's just terrifying. I don't know. There's a lot of issues with both sides, and we don't know the whole story. We don't even have all the facts. I mean, some people are saying one thing, other people are saying another thing. At the end of the day, it just sucks now because as fans, we want everyone to do good, like do good and make good things.
Right.
Yeah. So now we're in a position where we're like, well, you know.
And I really love Disney's ideals most of the time. And I really love that Disney's trying to make the world better. And I love that Kevin Feige is trying to make sure the Avengers are more female driven. And I love the fact that we're making sure the new characters that have been invented in the last few years that are aware that the world is more than one color, that Disney's pushing that. And I love the idea that Marvel Rising is a whole array of characters. So overall, I want to be clear. I still love Disney. I still love Marvel. Like, I just want to be clear that this one decision bothers me for my personal opinion, and that all views expressed here are not pop and talk or after buzz or blah 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 fast talking. I just don't think that's fair. So
because of this incident and others that have happened, I know despite some people that might be on Twitter and appear to be getting validation at this time for what they tweet, I do urge our younger viewers or like age viewers to think before you tweet anything else. I very much urge you to. There's drafts for a reason.
And after the second beer, put the phone down.
Yeah, you can put something in, but just save it as a draft, and then the next day take another look at it and see if that's something that you really want to never be deleted when you put it out in the world.
Because the world is like 2D, but it's real. Like, just because it's here doesn't mean
nobody's don't assume that other people will get your inflection of what you're putting out there.
Just, that's also fair. There's no sarcasm font. There's no way to know. So that is our take on that. A lot of people asked. That's why we brought it up. Was a lot of people asked.
Yes, including on my Joss Whedon picture asked on that and then tweeted that out to Joss.
So those are just our opinions. And I still really respect James Gunn's work. And I still really respect what Disney is doing for the culture and the society overall. End thought. Spider-Man Far From Home. Numan Akar has been added to the cast, and that his character is named Dimitri. And you may remember, if you read Spider-Man, a certain other character named Dimitri that may or may not change faces and go by the Chameleon. And oh boy,
that means we have the Chameleon.
If the Chameleon's in this, I'm gonna be so excited.
Yes, Koya Murkia confirmed we have the Chameleon.
And we have a Chameleon. Well, we got a Chameleon. I mean, this guy, I don't know his work. I love his look. I love how intense every single photo I've seen of him looks. I really am excited for the idea that Dimitri means Craven to me, because they work together all the time. They're related. They're so integrated in each other's story. And if we have Mysterio and Chameleon, there's going to be so much hoodwinking.
Yes.
There will be many hoodwinks.
I love that you brought up like Dimitri and Craven, because it's like we're all like secretly waiting, like with bated breath for Craven the Last Hunt.
It's coming.
Kind of a thing. Because, you know, I feel like if maybe not this movie, then the third one, which we have for Spider-Man. And then, of course, Craven, you know, he jumps around. Like we could have him for Black Panther. Him and Black Panther. Panther did do they battled.
Totally an option.
They had some battling that happened. So I'm very excited for this. I'm also not familiar with this actor. If anybody in the chat room is,
please
let us know. Let us know some of the work. I do really enjoy as far as headshots go, this has so much personality in it. And I'm really enjoying what you're seeing in his eyes. It's like, I'd cast you as one of my top villain people.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. And I do think this means Kraven. I mean, I really do think Chameleon equals Kraven. And we've already had a rumor of Mysterio, if not confirmed. I've heard both.
And then plus with Spider-Man, we've already had a depth of villains with it, with Vulture. So him as Chameleon.
And the Sinister Six is shaping up. Sinister Six is coming real. And they're handling it slowly. Like, I like that not only the villains that are assembling, but the fact they're doing like two, sometimes three a movie. Like, I love the Spider-Man corner of the universe. And yes. Amy, do you have any thoughts on Chameleon / Dimitri / Mr. Numan Akar?
Well, we do have someone in the chat. Joshua Wright said he was on Homeland for a season and was a great villain.
Wonderful.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, and he's
has some layers.
Yeah. Nice. He's going to be in Aladdin as well.
Cool.
And so I'm really excited.
Well, in the comics, I love that they're leaning Ditko. Like, all of the villains they've used so far are Ditko. They're classic. They're like, and this totally plays into that. Like, Scorpion and Vulture in the first one are such OG Spider-Man villains. Mm. Chameleon is also in that first 12 issues. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I love that they're not killing their villains.
Yes! You can't assemble a team of villains.
Let's still play with these toys.
Yes, these are good toys. Mm-hmm. And you want more than one movie to establish things. So this is, I'm so excited. All right, internet, we're going to move on to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes!
We have all survived. We have been there. We have done that. Ooh. And we will start with the inimitable Ryan Reynolds at Deadpool 2. I could not make the Deadpool 2 panel because I had to get back to Los Angeles. That was Saturday. I couldn't make the Deadpool 2 panel because I didn't get into Hall H. What did you think of that whole experience?
I had a little bit static of trying to get into Hall H for this panel. It was interesting. But obviously, as you can tell from the pictures, handled it I was just like, please.
There's a manager.
I kind of have to. Good. Yeah, I had to like talk to the people at the press store. They weren't going to let me in. I was like, there's only two panels that I'm doing this entire thing. And it was Marvel Games and Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have to. And they were like, okay, let's make this happen.
That's
like,
amazing.
Yes. So, so that happened. So for the Deadpool 2 panel, yes, Ryan Reynolds was the last guest that they announced. And he came out and the room exploded.
Yes.
Obviously, I really love this picture that we have right here, I noticed that I took. And it was Ryan Reynolds seated next to Vanisher.
So good.
Who you cannot see, but obviously is there because, you know, his San Diego nameplate.
Beautiful.
Which I wish I could have gotten that somehow.
I love that Ryan signed his for a fan and gave. There's a picture of Ryan signing his and
excellent.
Gave it to a fan, and it made it like so heartwarming.
That is excellent. So the Deadpool 2 panel was excellent. What they did is pretty much the spotlight of it or the highlight of it is that they played a lot of the footage that you're going to get with the Blu-ray,
cool.
And then also the super duper cut.
Yeah.
The super duper cut release. So like at the very beginning, we had. I didn't write any of this down. I feel so bad. The person that plays the taxi cab driver, Dolph Dofren?
Dopinder?
Dopinder, thank you. His name is Karen Soren, I believe. I apologize. In any case, for the Deadpool 2 panel, he was moderating it, and I absolutely love that, having a fellow cast member do that for the Deadpool 2 one. And then at the very beginning, we had extended footage, and that was, you know, Deadpool on the rooftop, where he is contacting the Mandarin gentleman, mm-hmm. and who happens to be a trafficker, and then busts into the window, and there's a very explosive scene going on with the different, more than likely, criminals that are happening in that room. Extended footage of that, a lot more gore, a lot more spins, a lot more humor, including with Deadpool pretending to be dead once he hops over the bar.
Great.
And then the gangsters like check on him, and he's like, he goes to the waitress, he's like, shh.
Yes.
And then he's pretends to be dead.
Did they show the Hitler footage?
They did. They did at the very end.
Now, if I tweet about wanting to see Hitler footage, will I be banned from working for Disney? Because it sounds very funny, but Disney's very delicate right now.
Oh, goodness. So, I mean, it's like one of those would you rather kind of things. Like some people would ask that question, be like, oh, so if you could go back in time and, you know, kill Hitler, would you? What if you could only go back when he was a baby?
That's such a funny thing.
And that was the last scene that they showed of the extended. Well, that was a deleted scene. Where Deadpool is, you'll have to get the Blu-ray.
It's really good. For this. I've read this part of the script and it's very funny.
Yeah, and then another deleted scene that you won't see in the extended cut, but will be, you know, part of the deleted scene things. There's a deleted kitchen scene. If you ever wondered about the soap dispenser,
yeah,
that plays a part in the deleted kitchen scene.
So on the Blu-ray, apparently there's a lot of good stuff in there. Yeah. Also, Disney, I still love you. I'm sorry that I was sassy.
Well, at this point, Disney would kind of have to understand, right?
I think hopes.
They kind of would have to, hopefully. But yeah, this is it's a fun little it's like a homey scene where it feels like Wade has been staying in the X mansion for like a little bit, so he's switching labels in the refrigerator and having an extended sequence with a teenage Negasonic.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead?
Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Because they call her TW in that, so...
Teenage Warhead. That's
Teenage
cute.
Warhead.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Little short, little
and with
name.
Colossus, and then also with Horukio? What's his name? Hi, Wade.
Yes.
Oh.
Who's about a Surge, but they never call her Surge.
Yeah, they never call her Surge. Yeah. Well, at least not in that scene and not in the movie. So, but yeah, an extended taxi scene, more Domino and more Cable. In that scene, but yeah, it was an excellent panel. And then a live Q&A for people to get to ask the cast everything, and a lot of questions went to Ryan Reynolds, obviously.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. I am very jealous. Future San Diego door guard people, I might like Deadpool a fair amount, so maybe let the Deadpool guy in, because he didn't get in, and he's not still bitter. So, also in the world of things I love, Spider-Verse was a panel I was in. I really, 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 really loved how Spider-Verse looked. It looked so good, so fun. The animation is... I feel like it's like a hyperbole when people say like animation like you've never seen before, but it truly is animation like I've never seen before. The depth of field, the use of color, the use of saturation, the way the characters move, the frame rate, the it's shot in scope. I've never seen animation quite like this. It feels like a comic, and I love the frame rate. I love there's actually speech bubbles. And there's actually thought bubbles, and the voice cast is amazing, and the whole cast came out, they had a big talk, and then a moment that, once again, I want to talk about John at the end of the show, but the Spider-Ham is in Spider-Verse, and Nicolas Cage is Spider-Man Noir, and those are two things that John would have loved. That guy loved Spider-Ham, and Nicolas Cage is Spider-Man Noir, like, that's like, what?
That's so
Schnapp. Yeah, it's like, it's exactly, it's Schnapp Prime. Yeah. So that the trailer was great, the extended footage was great, Jake Johnson, I think, is going to be a great Spider-Man. Lord and Miller were there because they produced the film. The directors came out. Shameik Moore, who I love from Dope, he came out, and the guy, like, Shameik Moore is like the coolest dude. He came out in like the comfiest looking clothes ever, and he looks so unlike his character from Dope in real life, because in Dope he's got the like flat high top. On the panel he was like, he had like cornrows bordering on dreads, and he was like in the comfiest clothes ever, and like had this like rap flavor to them, and I wouldn't have recognized him because his energy was so different than Dope.
Excellent.
And he's just the coolest dude, so I'm really excited for his Miles Morales. Everything I see from this animated movie looks enormous. Like, this movie's going to change the animation game. I'm really excited. What do you guys think about Spider-Verse?
I'm so excited for this. I mean, I originally wasn't so on board with them, all of the animation, just because it was a little bit different. It was a little bit outside of what I just tend to typically ingest with my animation. But now I'm like 100% on board.
Great.
Because, they really got me with that last trailer when they had Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
When it was just like, oh, I thought the trailer is like, how can this get any better? And when you have Miles, and then it's like you hear like, wait, Spider-Man? What? So you have that. Yeah. And then, boom, there's Spider-Gwen.
And she came out too, and she's so adorable. It was right after the Transformers panel. So she just did back-to-back panels, and she's darling.
That's excellent.
And I GamerGirl, no 2099 yet. I think that's going to be one of the big reveals. I think they're saving that for the movie because there's no way they don't put him in there. And also they had... oh, shoot, what else happened? In the trailer that we all saw, they said, who's blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we're saving it for Comic-Con. So at the Comic-Con panel, they're like, we promised we were... Like, they returned on the Easter egg they set up in the trailer, which I thought was very cute.
Excellent.
And very comic-y.
And I have to say, thanks, chat room, because Lico JG, they should have called it Deadpool 2, the Snyder Cut.
That's funny.
That's
funny. Before we go to TV talk, I also want to mention I was at the Venom panel as well. The Venom panel.
Because you're really psyched for that movie.
I'm that cheerleader. Yeah. I'm the loud cheerleader.
Yeah. I'm hoping for really good things.
It was Riz Ahmed, Ruben Fleischer, the director, and Tom Hardy. And they talked for like 20, 30 minutes. And then they showed an extended look at it. And it's confirmed. There are multiple symbiotes. We saw the multiple symbiotes. Okay. We saw, I think Riz Ahmed becomes a symbiote by the context of the trailer. Okay. They didn't show her, but
really?
There was actually less Michelle Williams in the trailer than I expected. But I hope that is a thing. Maybe a post credit. Like, I think she has to become that. There's no way.
God. You have Michelle Williams. You kind of have
to. Can't not use Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
But Tom Hardy, as you guys know, I love dearly, and I'm really excited for his Eddie Brock. The footage has like a Chris Nolan flavor, where they show a lot of building and scope, and the town looks like a character, like San Francisco looks like a character. Venom himself, they're working on, like, you can see some of the shots were more done than others. Like, you could tell there were like different levels of CGI that were finished. So I think when he's done, it's going to be incredible. And I have to say, I can confirm in all of the footage I saw, no white spider on the chest.
Oh,
so that was full body shots, zero white spider. I kept looking. Okay. So for what it's worth, they can always add that at the end.
Like, yeah, well, because they've never
misled us with trailers before.
Never, ever.
But it should be noted that they didn't release this trailer, and the trailer I saw did not have the white spider in his chest, for what it's worth.
and for the people in the chat room that are saying, Godzilla, talk about Godzilla. I will say this for Godzilla, because it looks great. It looks great. And there was a lot of Godzilla love at SDCC.
Oh,
like,
my God.
A lot. There were people standing in the street with signs like Godzilla's are people's too. There were moms from Mutos that were there. And then there was this like whole contingent of people that were just preaching about Godzilla as if Godzilla was a religious figure that had come back and was thus
funny.
Godzilla saves. So yeah, there was a lot of Godzilla love. You are in good company.
It was a lot of people's favorite trailer. Like a lot of the journalists, yeah. I know it was a beloved trailer, so
yeah, so there you go.
Godzilla love.
We mentioned Godzilla.
Now TV talk, we have so much TV stuff. Unfortunately, Ballroom 20 did not have a press line, so we didn't get to do any of the panels directly.
It's very difficult to do all of the other press stuff that you're trying to do when you have to wait in a 2 to 3 hour line to get into something.
Yeah,
or if you only have a 45 minute break between things to rush to something else.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we weren't able to...
be physically in those rooms.
To be physically in those rooms. But the coverage is still done.
Correct. And I was lucky enough to be in the Flash Ballroom 20. So, to briefly bridge the gap from Marvel to DC...
Amalgam Universe!
Flash looks so good, you guys! The Flash like trailer they showed, the cast is adorable. One of my friends is one of the leads of the next season, so I got to actually talk to the cast a fair amount, and they're lovely people. I need to say publicly that Grant Gustin is perhaps the nicest person I've ever seen to fans in existence. So, I was going to watch Flash Season 5, because my friends in it. Mm-hmm. I am now going to watch Flash season 1 through 5 because of how great Grant Gustin is. The dude is impossibly, cartoonishly the greatest.
Excellent.
So Grant Gustin is, like for whatever he does, I'm in. I saw him do some of the nicest stuff. I don't want to get him in trouble by saying how nice he was because it probably like stalled some other things. The nicest guy! And Flash looks... The ring, like the costume ring is in the trailer and it looks so cool. So I'm going to be watching Flash. So anyone that follows me on Twitter and not on Marvel Movie News where I should be talking about this, I'm excited for Flash.
Yay, nerdiness, general nerdiness. Oh, and then also in the chat room, yes, Glass, the Glass trailer. It was awesome.
General
comic nerdiness. I can't wait for that. It's like, what is that? Universal Pictures? And yes. I'm sure there is some universe that we could encompass. Well,
Universal owns Hulk, so this is tied in.
There we go. We just tied it in.
Boom. Glass is canon.
There we go. And Glass is coming out in January. And oh my God, the trailer is so good. Yeah. I'm so excited for this. Samuel L. Jackson, who's also Nick Fury. So then we just tied it in again. And yeah, if you haven't seen the Glass trailer yet, you're not even sure what we're talking about because you haven't even seen Unbreakable yet. I do recommend seeing Unbreakable if only for it being real world scenario of if superheroes and supervillains exist in a world. So see Unbreakable, and then if you have time, see Split, because I believe it is worth it, and you will understand why near the end, to then be prepared for Glass, which comes out in January.
I'm very excited for both. So, the Gifted trailer, they were renewed for season 2. Cloak and Dagger renewed for season 2. Both of those are very exciting. We have confirmation that, just quickly, TV news since we weren't there.
Yeah.
We have confirmation that Typhoid Mary.
Marvel movie news, TV news. Here's the TV news, TV news. Go.
There it is. Look, now we're in. Now we're in the TV zone. And then Iron Fist, Alice Eve is confirmed to be played by, playing Typhoid Mary, which is very exciting because I love Typhoid. That is such good casting. That character is great. She's fantastic. And Iron Fist. Well, you have a story and I have a story.
Yes, we will have stories for Iron Fist. I've heard good things about the Iron Fist panel, that they are focusing on good stuff. There is a particular part of the Iron Fist panel that was maybe not necessarily the best thing to do. There was, what's his name? The one that came out in the karate outfit.
I didn't see the trailer.
Oh, no, not the trailer. I'm talking about the panel itself. Okay, so the panel itself, I'm sorry, I'm getting this secondhand knowledge because unfortunately I couldn't be there. There's no press line for Ballroom 20.
I like how sassy this episode of Marvel
is. We're a little bit sassy.
Like, just generally sad.
I'm really sad right now. I think
of grieving bitterness is or aggression is today. So I apologize if I'm slightly off brand. I'm a little crotchety.
Yeah, if there's sarcasm and sassiness, it's just, yeah, totally in that.
Cantankerous coin Markia today.
I know. Oh, man. But I apologize. I'm forgetting the name of, I believe it's the creator, if the chat room wants to tell me. But he came out in a karate gi with, he did that at the beginning of the Iron Fist panel or near, in any case. Continue on with your story and then I'll
Finn see. Jones is the coolest dude in real life.
Pretty darn awesome.
He, he's at this party we're at, and yeah. Finn Jones, one, homie can dance. Two,
yeah.
Is impossibly nice and really wanted to talk and had lost his voice. So I'm sharing in that. I didn't kiss Finn Jones, internet. I was afraid of that coming, but we both lost our voices separately.
What?
I realized what it made it sound like. I said he lost his voice and then I lost my voice. I wanted to make sure that I didn't infer. So Finn Jones and I were talking and we were both talking about how to fix lost voices because we were both losing our voices. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, dude, in 30 seconds of Luke Cage season 2, episode 10, that character was so much of Iron Fist and I really appreciate all the work you did and the body language and all this stuff. And he was like, oh, dude, thank you. And he kept doing these very appreciative gestures and talking. And the way he moved in those interactions was more Iron Fist than all of season 1. Like every time I talked to him, he would move and I could tell he's been practicing martial arts because his fluidity and eloquence. And he was so nice and wanted to talk about the comics, wanted to talk about Luke Cage, wanted to talk about the fandom, wanted to talk about the show. Mm-hmm. And this was all through a scratchy losing voice at a party where it was super loud. So I just want to thank Finn Jones for not only being cool to people that are fans, for knowing your comics, and for clearly training in martial arts to such a level that it was affecting your dancing and talking, because it was awesome. He was Iron Fist at that party, and it was really, it made me feel like season two is going to be special.
Yeah, for mine, I was dancing in a dance circle with, it was me, Erica Ishii, and Taliesin, and then, like, dude, like, just, like, comes and dances right here, and I was like, okay, dude's got some moves, whatever, you know, like, we're dancing, and then Taliesin, like, leans over, whispers to me, he's like, that's Finn Jones. I'm like, no, it's not. He's like, no, 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 look. I'm like, I don't have to, because it's not. And then he, like, bumps into me, and I'm like, oh, you know, like that. And yeah. And, you know, put my hands on his shoulders, and it's Ben Jones. Such and he's nice like, guy. And he's got such a lovely accent also. Lovely accent. And he was like, oh, no, it's fine. We're dancing. It's all, you know, like that. That was not his accent. That was a horrible, horrible rendition of Ben Jones. I don't know. I don't know what that was. Chat room, tell me what that accent
was. That was a Matt Key accent.
It wasn't anything.
Just like, oh, British, what is
like,
this?
What is this? It's something else over here. But yeah, and then I danced like a song with Finn Jones and Erica and Taliesin before he like went off like an Iron Fist in the Night to dance some more and then possibly interact with you right afterwards, for all I know.
He was very sweet. And
it was super sweet.
Now that was the best ad for season two, is seeing how he moves. Like, I'm so excited for season two.
That and a different showrunner is a really good ad for me for season two. And so, I really like what they did with Luke Cage with the focus for season two. Yeah. So I have a lot of hope.
I have a lot of hope that
season two of Iron Fist will be something that I personally will enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. So from personal experience, Finn Jones is very invested in the character. So in the least interview way possible, I got so much more information about Iron Fist season two, and I'm really excited. Mm-hmm. So we want to dive into... Oh, before we move on from TV time, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Clark Gregg will be directing episode one of season six, which is very cool. Clark mm-hmm. Gregg directed Choke, which is a Chuck Palahniuk adaptation. I am a big Chuck Palahniuk fan, so it's really cool to see Clark Gregg getting to direct more, because I know the man can direct, so it'd be cool to see the directing of a property that he's very invested in. It is six seasons of him being on it, so I'm excited to see how he handles directing his own team. And also Jeff Ward and Deke Shaw. Thank you.
Yeah, he's from the future, and now he lives in the past.
Ooh.
And he has a thing for Chloe Bennett's character.
Well, he has been promoted, along with mm-hmm. Jeff Ward, two series regular. I got to speak with Jeff Ward at the Infinity War premiere, and Jeff Ward is so geeky. That dude loves comics. Jeff Ward is one of us. Jeff Ward, it was good to see his name get promoted, because I'm like, oh, he's one of us.
I really hope, like, he doesn't have to, but I really hope, like, he gets a lemon, like, on a chain, and then just, like, wears that as a necklace. Look, I get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. references, because I watch.
Yeah.
Well, just season five. So honestly, don't expect anything earlier than that.
Reference season four. So you were at the game madness.
Yes. I was at the Marvel Games panel. I do want to say real quick, Charles Lee goes, you've interacted with Iron Fist and a member of the Pride. Why aren't you in the MCU already? I don't know. is this where we put Joss Whedon in? Oh, no, wait. Are we doing the Marvel games? Okay, I take back that segue. I thought the Joss Whedon one was the next one. All right, so the Marvel games panel. I was adamant about going into that, and there, it was in Hall H. I didn't feel like it needed to be in Hall H, though. I think it was more because like Marvel Studios didn't have a presence. Then it's like, hey, we're Marvel. Yeah, Hall H. It was an excellent panel for what it was. No, there was no Avengers announcement, so let's just go ahead and get that out of the way right now. Square Enix is still holding on to that. My gut reaction is like maybe at the beginning of Phase 4 or something, they'll be like, hey, here's something else to grab a hold of or whatever. They didn't give us it at E3. They did give us it in SDCC. But what they did give us is a Spider-Man PS4. The exclusive, which I the actual PS4 console, where it is red with the white logo on it. And then, like, I'm living for this controller. It is a red controller with white webbing, like white buttons on it. Koi has already pre-ordered one.
I may or may not have enjoyed my after parties a bit too zealously and then made an impulse purchase that I'm very happy with. But it was alarming the next morning looking at my credit card and going, what have I? Oh,
it's
right.
It's like, what did I do?
my credit card, I have a safety thing where it alerts me if I spend a certain amount, and it well went over that. And so, which means I drunkenly had to confirm and then re-log in, and I did all of this without quite remembering. So I woke up the next day to all of these text notifications from my bank, and I was like, oh, I did a thing. So I
did a very good thing.
I did a very good thing. And we talked about this, what, 6 months ago, the Spider-Man edition of the PS4.
Yes.
We saw a previz that looked very similar to what they did, and we hoped it was real. Mm-hmm. And it feels like fate. It was real. It had to happen. Yeah. So I'm rejoining the gaming community. I am getting a PS4. I'm getting the PS4. September 7th, I'll be picking mine up. I've already bought it. And I can't wait to get back into gaming with Spider-Man, because that's where I left gaming. So this game looks so good.
Yeah, and there were a number of panelists with that. They had new stuff to say about Unleashed Marvel Battle Lines. There's going to be over 200 characters, PvP, and possible geolocation. With that, so I'm actually probably going to link up with Nexon with that, because I'm starting a Twitch channel, and I believe I'm going to have Marvel Battle Lines be one of my for my, you know, mobile community along with everything else. So, but yeah, Jason Bender was there for Marvel Strike Force, and with Marvel Strike Force, it was actually pretty interesting. They had Miss Marvel is a playable character in a Marvel Strike Force. Jump in assist. She has Mr. Fantastic powers. So she's going to be like an offensive support character with rejuvenation. She's the fastest self healer. So keep in look at that for Marvel Strike Force, which is mobile. And Marvel Future Fight is going to be a thing, and it's an adventure beginning with Cable. I thought you might like this. Deadpool's going to be in it.
Deadpool game.
And you can change up Domino.
That's cool.
That's the thing. And then, of course, I'm Contest of Champions. There's Korg, Thanos, and Heimdall that are in that one. You can pre-order that July 23rd. Jacinda Chu, who I believe is the head of art direction for a number of things, but she has a hand in Spider-Man PS4. There is a limited edition art book that you can pre-order.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looked really good. And then they showed us some things with Spider-Man PS4, reminiscent of Spider-Man 2. It's the same thing that I said before. It's excellent. The direction's excellent. The web-slinging's right. They showed us the intro to Spider-Man PS4.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. What it is that you have Peter Parker. He puts his costume over his clothes. So I don't know how that works out.
Okay.
But yeah, his costume over his clothes. It looks like he's in a type of studio apartment during this opening sequence, where it's like he's making toast for himself. He's a poor man's meal. Basically, he has a past due notice that slides in under his door. He has along on his wall, just like we're in movies where they like, oh, this villain is connected to here at this location.
Yeah.
You know, they have that up there, and Fisk is a big part of that. So after the past due notice slides under his door, Peter, as Spider-Man, then looks at the notice and then looks at the open window and then looks at the notice again. And you just see his feet fly out the window. And then that starts your gameplay.
That's very cute.
Yeah, and if you pre-order, you'll get Spider-Punk, Iron Spider, and Velocity Spider Suit.
Ooh,
yeah,
I got Spider-Punk confirmed.
So.
My email that I woke to said Spider-Punk was mine.
Yeah, and Mr. Negative is a part of it, and the reveal that happened at Comic-Con for Silver Sable.
Ooh.
Yes, Silver Sable is in Spider-Man PS4.
And that gives us more hope for Silver and Black, that they were planting those seeds, because usually these things all tie together. So hopefully that movie still exists. And the PS4, I am so excited for in general. And now I can play that Deadpool game I missed. I can go back and do all those things.
You can do all the things.
I can game. So, guys, this game, like this system looks amazing. If you get a chance, pre-order, because it's going to sell out like crazy. And I'm so excited for the future of Marvel gaming. I think it's very bright.
Yeah, absolutely. And give us the Avengers game.
Yes. Oh, and also, Yuri Lowenthal is a buddy of mine, and I got to talk to him. We both have the same spider suit, that suit I wear. So Yuri came out in the spider suit on the panel. I was doing my Screen Junkies panel, so we were both in the same suit at the same time. And then we ran into each other, and it was like that meme of Spider-Man pointing.
There were two people at the Marvel panel. Yes.
So there was three of us
there was
in
three
the same
of you.
Suit at the same time.
Yes.
So Yuri, we're going to try to get on the show and talk Spider-Man stuff, because it was really good to see Yuri, and he's been Spider-Man, so that's I gotta have that conversation on air.
Yeah, you both have to wear the jacket.
Yeah,
Markia confirms. You have to wear the jacket.
I'll be Ben Reilly that day. I'll own that. That works for me.
Okay, so
get in the photos and Mary Marvelettes.
Yeah, I think I'm sorry. I don't even. Oh, okay. It's in Mary Marvelites. Got it. Okay. So shout outs. Missy Zorel at Missy Zorel. Heywood W at HWView. Risa the Jedi at Risa Kwan 2014. Zoya the Last Kicker at Superior Bunny _. Joshua Galpin at Renia Gogo. Tim Chapman at Chim _Tapman. Angelo Del Vale Valet at Mercury Beetle. Like Blue Beetle? Dalton James Perdue at Dalton Dew. Marie Davis at Marie Antoinette 28. Jada Loved Ama TW at Elio Holland. And then for this. One of the parties that I was at, Joss Whedon was dancing his butt off. Dude had some moves. It was fun stuff. And then, like, the lights came on because it was time to go. Because yes, this was the alpha party that we were at together. And Joss Whedon was standing there, and everybody else was like, kind of like, oh, okay, you know, the night's over. That's Joss Whedon. So I walked right up to Joss and started talking to him because it's Joss Whedon. Why wouldn't you? Awesome guy. Very cool. I got this picture with him. How he's doing like that eyebrow thing. That's just how he is, in, like, that personality. It's pretty cool. To respond to the couple of comments on my Twitter with this, no, I'm not the next Buffy right now. that would be pretty awesome. But yeah, no, it was just ran into Joss on the dance floor and got a picture because, you know, the night was over. So, but yeah. But if I ended up being the next Buffy, I could do that. Although, in reality, I'd rather it be an original character that Joss came up with. But, hey, I'm still going to watch the new Buffy no matter what.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Motor Roland. So they have a new Avenger incoming. And they're expecting, they say, hashtag it's a boy. And it's just this gorgeous little, look at the little rocket ship on this onesie. Oh, she's so happy. I love
Congratulations. To Motor Roland and his lovely lady, who I've actually not met Motor Roland's lady. I've just met Motor Roland a bunch of times, but yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. And you still have to remember to bring the...
I have them.
Yes.
They're in my possession instead of my friend's possession. I got them before San Diego.
Okay, great. We're talking about like his
he got us art rings for one of each of us. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Motor Roland, congrats. And then we also have... Okay, so before we get into these photos, this is the apology for sassiness before we leave. This has been a week.
This has been a very intense week for Koi and myself. Like we said at the beginning, we did lose a close friend to us, John Schnepp, who was the head of Collider Heroes, the top, the king sweaty for sweaties everywhere. And we are... still going through. I don't know. There's no time limit with how long this is going to take to process. So, but we are going to talk about him and show some pictures and some fan drawings. Starting
Colt
with
Badeau did great work. I love this man. This is fantastic. This is the very vivacious energy of Mr. John Schnepp, and I really appreciate you taking the time to make this. Colt Badeau runs our social and has then made this amazing art. So thank you for your tribute to the sweatiest of all of us. I've had a really, like, this has been, I haven't lost a friend before. I've lost family and they were older, and I've lost a young friend, like, in middle school, but I've never lost an adult friend, and there's never any way to really know how it's going to affect you. And I've learned today on air that it's sass. But in general, it's really been hard because John was someone I really admired before I knew him. John was someone that was so brilliant and creative and just reached out and was so welcoming and so... inclusive in a time that nerds weren't. He was all about everyone sharing his passion, and that's what Collider Heroes is about. That's why it was Collider Heroes has always been such an honor for me. It hasn't been a job. It hasn't been a network. It's been an honor, and I've always appreciated his particular brand of insight. And beyond his public engagements of speaking and his and all of those things, he creates so much good stuff. The man never stopped, and he always wanted people to know how much the nerd community meant. Like, he always wanted people to be welcomed into it. He always wanted people to feel like they were included. And, like, he was everything from a hip-hop head, like we talked about, to metal, to a cartoonist, to a creator, to comic writer to, like, there's no level, like, LA, everyone has slashes. John didn't have a slash. He was just, it was just all of it. Like, there's no way to just tell you what John was. He was everything, and he was the best of everything.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of friends that have known him for decades or have really great descriptions. One of them was, he's like the imaginary friend that you get to hug and everybody else can see him too.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he's like,
I love that so much.
Isn't that great? He's the kid from summer camp that you get to be best friends with the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, for me with John, just his zeal and his passion for all things nerd, the fact that he didn't gatekeep anything, that he was completely inclusive, whatever your level of nerdery was, whatever you were nerdy about, was more than enough. And I think a lot of people could really take that to heart, because that is how you... I think that's, I don't know the recipe that makes a John Schnepp, but I'm just saying for my particular part of that gourmet meal, of that buffet, I think with being able to realize that that the world treats you in a certain way, then it treats other people that also maybe nerds or geeks with something that you like or not. But to realize that, accept that, and then tell the world, hey, you're doing it wrong. That is what John would do. He would make sure that he treated you the way that you deserve to be treated. Mm-hmm. So if you came at him with like a trolling sense of, I don't know, entitlement, then he had it. He had exactly the way that you would be, the way that you should be responded to. You know, there was a proper amount of IDGAF in there, and there was so much just love and affection and mad scientists. I haven't met a mad scientist, but I think John was one. Like, he could have easily had a laboratory along with his cinnamon smelling cats.
Oh, cinnamon smelling cats.
Cinnamon smelling cats in his attic, because he wouldn't have done a basement.
No.
In the attic, because they wouldn't expect it.
But he was in his own, you know, like, he was a mad scientist of art, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he created so much for us, and he wanted everyone to do their best. So the live chat is pouring out appreciation, and I really appreciate that. But if you guys want to honor John, create stuff,
and
never stopped.
Accept other people the way that you would want someone to accept you.
Yeah. And do more, like, just always be doing more, and just take care of your neighbor, take care of yourselves, and just create, because we lost a very, like, John was larger than life, and he was already larger than life. Like, the only man I've ever met bigger than John was John. Like, he's just so much, and this, we've lost such a giant figure in not just the nerd community, but in the community. Like, the world could use to be more like John Schnepp in every facet, like, accountants to mathematicians to NASA to science, like, anyone. Everyone needs that, and there's no one like John Schnepp. So it's a giant loss, and I'm going to miss him every day, but I'm going to make sure that every day I do something that would inspire, and every day I'll do something that would have made him proud. And that's the only way to carry on that man's legacy, is to keep moving and to try to create the best possible stuff. And that's what he did. And I miss him, man. Amy, any thoughts?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think I speak for everyone that didn't personally know him, that it's so nice to hear you guys talk about him. And after watching the 20 minutes that you guys talked about him yesterday, it really just opens up my eyes to see just how much he did. Like, holy moly.
Right?
There's so much. And what a lot of people knew was the Collider part of him, but there's other ways to explore everything that he did. And I think that's something that we should all, you know, try and absorb, and also just promote being super sweaty.
Yeah. Everyone stay super sweaty.
Yeah.
And also, like, appreciate, like, life, you know?
This all happened so fast. We never know. This happened so fast.
We just did Vegas with him, and that was one of the best trips. I'm so glad Vegas happened, and I'm so glad we got to experience
I have had the death of a friend before, pretty close to his 30th birthday. It was last year and I didn't have a chance to say goodbye. I am glad that we had a chance to say goodbye to John.
Yeah.
But yeah, you never know. So if anything, be enough like John to put a little bit more of effort in your life.
Yeah.
And stop holding yourself back. Stop holding yourself back. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to dim your light. so yeah, create,
and welcome others and be awesome. Cause that man was the most awesome man I have had the very, very distinct pleasure of knowing, and we miss him so much. And, yeah, stay sweaty. And I don't know how to, this show was for Schnepp and anything going forward. I just want to do in his honor. Cause
yeah, all of them will be because you know what, we're gonna stay sweaty forever, sweaty's forever.
Yeah. So I think that is our show for the week. Once again, sorry for any undue sass.
Sorry for that.
And I've
going
I've been
through the process
off Twitter and Instagram largely since this has all been happening. So I'm sorry for everyone that's reached out. I've seen you and I thank you and you're amazing. And I don't think that my not responding is I just can't hang right. I can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've had to mute a couple of things on Twitter. But I do feel the love. We do. It's just. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It really does mean a lot.
So this is a universal from us to you. Thank you. This is the best response I have right now. Social media scares me at the time. Yeah. So I love you guys. And please tell your family, tell your friends how much you love them. Like, let them know how appreciated you are. And don't take anything for granted because you don't know.
You never know.
This has been Marvel Movie News. And we will see you next week.
Yes. Yes. See you next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.